Hey everyone, it's Ishan. My audio is not great this episode for reasons that will become clear if you listen. Also, it's the reason that the Forgotten Realms episode was 3 days late, so please forgive me and enjoy.
Live from the Mundangerous Quarantine Zone in New York City, I'm your host Shane.
And I'm your host Ishan.
And welcome to episode 245 of Total Party Thrill, a podcast for game masters and players where we discuss our campaigns in order to inspire yours.
In this episode, we're talking about gaming during this coronavirus pandemic. But first, the party goes full-on detective in the Gates of Mourning campaign. And later, the nosomatic chirurgeon turns the Mark of Healing inside out in the Character Creation Forge.
Ishan, I want you to say that word 5 times fast.
No somatic chirurgeon. No somatic chirurgeon. No somatic chirurgeon. No somatic chirurgeon. No somatic chirurgeon.
Okay, good.
Now, audience, did we just loop that?
Right, yeah. You solved my no somatic chirurgeon puzzle.
Speaking of puzzles, hey, Awful Monk, off the Discord, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
I think Awful Monk is one of the first people to join our Discord when we started it up in the first place. Longtime listener. Always happy to interact. And currently the GM of a play-by-post game I have recently joined.
So if you also want a birthday shout-out, the key is to have been there early, run a play-by-post game for Ishan, and also ask nicely in the Discord when nobody else has thought to do that yet.
That is what it takes.
So yep. There's probably other paths that can unlock this, but that one is already done.
So no more. No more that way. You must discover other ways.
But yes, happy birthday, Awful Monk.
Perhaps another way to discover it would be to call us out on our April Fool's prank.
Okay, so it took about 5 minutes for people to start speculating that this was an April Fool's joke, which is what happens on April Fool's. The first clue, the most obvious clue, was that it was 69 minutes long in the episode that we released early on Wednesday. Nobody noticed that we did it because it was the first time we've had 420, right? Like, April 2020 is month 420. Ha ha, 420, 69, get it.
Numerology jokes.
Yeah. Anyway, funny numbers. But then what happened is a bunch of different pod like catchers will scrub duplicate entries from feeds, and thus lots of people have missed the actual real episode that came out. So on Wednesday, we released a short, like, 7-minute April Fool's episode. It has since been renamed the April Fool's episode. And episode 244, the actual Forgotten Realms review, is on the feed. It is on the website. You might have to resubscribe to your feed in your podcatcher to, like, force it to update, but it should no longer come in as a dupe. So sorry that we missed the technology on our bad joke.
Joke's on us. Mm-hmm. But hey, we did our Forgotten Realms episode. That happened.
We survived. You all survived as well, from what I can tell.
All right. So I guess that's not all that's happened in this last week.
No. So in addition to, you know, like coronavirus and shelter in place and all of the other bad things in the world, one of the, should we say, pillars? One of the most notable or most recognizable faces in the online gaming community has let us all down.
Okay, so Shane, I've heard about this tangentially, but can you please describe what happened?
Yeah, and there's a content warning here for sexual assault in a game. So you might want to skip about 2 minutes if you don't want to hear that conversation. But Adam Coble, who is one of the creators of Dungeon World and the streaming GM in waiting or whatever for Roll20 and hosts a bunch of other shows on Twitch and other things, right? So he's your GM to the stars on Twitch, decided in one of his long-running campaigns that he was going to have a naive like robot go in for repairs. And instead of giving him the repairs, the repairman was going to give him his first robotic orgasm, which he giggled about as a joke at the end of the, like, literally at the end of the episode, as the players are growing increasingly horrified as they're seeing what's happening, the player whose character it was is in, like, shocked disbelief. And afterwards, everyone literally quit the show. He then apologized for not having safety mechanics in place and seems to think that that's good enough. And I just don't know how.
It's bad enough not to have safety mechanics in place. The thought that you would even broach a subject like this without having had informed consent from every player at the table ahead of time and have people actually be on board with it blows my mind.
Right. That's the thing. And then even if your players are on board for it, you're doing this in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. Is the audience on board for this? Because
was
like,
there a warning for the audience?
There is in the YouTube version of it that I looked at. Like, there's a content warning, but not live.
Jesus.
So if you watched it live on Twitch, you just got thrown into, right? I was like physically uncomfortable, like watching this, like watching the faces of the other people, like as this is going on. I was like growing increasingly uncomfortable. I can't imagine how they felt.
And you knew this was coming, right? Because you had heard about this and then you went to watch the like YouTube
version.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. I knew this was coming. I was expecting to cringe. And I was still uncomfortable. So like, I just, you know, and people are saying like, you know, the quality of his apology has very little ownership.
It's not an apology.
Right. Yeah. It's blaming like, and the idea here being that like if a player had felt empowered to use an X card, they could have avoided this problem, which doesn't really address the fact that this was acceptable gaming material without consent, regardless of whether or not it went too far. It should have never started. Right.
I think this is one of the few times where I feel sort of like naive in terms of gaming, because like no one we game with, no one that I know personally would have ever thought that this would have been a good idea. But then, you know, you see things like this happen and it sort of reminds you that not everyone is always operating in as safe a space as some of us.
Right. And this is coming from a person who also has, in the past, championed safety mechanics. Is a very visible, like, queer man in the gaming space who has talked extensively about the importance of consent and then turns around and does this for a live audience.
I mean, I want to say everybody can make a mistake, but then you need to own it. You need to make amends, and then you need to never do it again. But it doesn't seem like any of that has happened yet.
Yeah, so. I mean, the never do it again is always out.
Right.
Like that one you can never know until it never happens. But the other two don't seem to be happening either.
All right. So I don't know if anyone needs a refresher. We did the social contract episode. Feel free to go listen to it. Send it to people who might be interested. If this made you uncomfortable, that is reasonable. It should have made you uncomfortable. And you are not feeling anything wrong if this made you uncomfortable. You're not doing anything wrong if you're calling this out, or any kind of behavior that you see in person or online. Please feel empowered to do that, because that also helps keep safe people who don't feel empowered. So everyone who did speak out, thank you.
Yeah, and especially shout out to the cast here, who I don't think anybody knows the specific internals of the conversations that went around afterwards, but they all quit. Which is not an easy thing to do when you have somebody who has that much more like community power than you do, that much more audience than you do, to all walk out together, I think is a really powerful statement.
Yeah. It takes a lot to like deplatform yourself, because that's your only option.
Right. So just recognizing that, you know, that power dynamic was also very uneven, and they did what they had to do to protect themselves, I think is very awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's the takeaway for everybody else, right? Is look out for the safety of the players at your table. You know, get consent when you enter these areas. Like, be honest and open in your dialogue. And oh my God, like, just don't use rape as a subject matter for your games. Certainly without talking to people about it explicitly first.
All right, so. On that note, shall we check in with the Gates of Morning campaign?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get a smooth transition out of that,
no,
will we?
No, not at all.
It doesn't really tie.
All right, so the Gates of Morning campaign is our 5th edition D&D game set in Eberron, a sequel of sorts to the original Morning Glory campaign. and in central Carnath, in the insular city of Vedekir, the party is chasing a killer.
So, yep, after leaving the oddly preserved body of our friend Ephraim Diorian in the care of a skeptical and charmed priest, the party hears a scream outside and rushes into a nearby alley to find a nearly dismembered corpse. And after calling for the constables, they begin their investigation.
Yeah, without touching anything.
Right, of course. Magical investigation.
So, Lenore, the inquisitive from House Therashk, can tell that the man was attacked from the front, because that's where the wound seems to be. However, he's loaded for bear. He has a longsword and a dagger, both of which are still sheathed, and he's wearing studded leather. And judging from his scream, he saw whatever it was that killed him, but it finished him too quickly for him to actually react or even draw a weapon. He seems to have basically been nearly cut in half by one obscenely strong blow, and that has splattered the wall behind him with his blood.
And nearby, there is a partial set of prints revealing a bare humanoid foot, smaller than an adult human male, and knuckles. So whatever this creature, this assailant was, it was loping on all fours.
So Lenore and then Warden, the druid in wolf form, try to track this creature down, but the stone terrain is just too hard for them to follow the trail. But Lenore will be able to recognize the prince in the future, and Warden now has the scent. So the constables finally arrive, and of course they detain the party, until Inspector Sigor, who has made the party's acquaintance, arrives. He sort of half-heartedly accuses them of this murder. He obviously doesn't really believe it, but, you know, they're outsiders. He's just going to make an accusation to see what happens, and they deny it. He does note that death does seem to follow them wherever they go.
I mean, yeah, fair, except that we also seem to be following death, so, death follows you too, Inspector. You're a murder police.
Think about it from his perspective. So the party points out what they've discovered, and he seems to relent and enlists them to find the killer. He doesn't recognize this man. It doesn't seem to be someone who's particularly important in town, so, you know, if you're good at following death, go find who did this.
Mm-hmm. So we then conduct a more thorough search, sort of under his watchful gaze. And we discover that the dead man has no identification, no coinage, a garrote, thieves' tools, silken rope. He looks like an assassin.
Yeah. So with very few leads, the party debates their next move. They consider that they could go speak to the Undarian dwarf Bach again in the sanatorium, but they decide instead that right now they're going to head to House Jarasco to find out more about what exactly happened to them 4 years ago on the day of mourning, now that they have discovered that they have apparently been vivisected in the past and do not remember it happening.
Yeah, so House Jarasco, the House of Healing, has its ancestral enclave taking up a large part of the city's wealthy northern neighborhood on hills that kind of tower above the current location. So on the way, the party gets a sense that we're being followed, but we can't quite see who it is, can't quite figure it out.
When they get to the gate, there are halfling sentries who block their way, but the halflings actually do seem happy to see non-Carnathys for a change. Remember, this is the House of Healing's enclave. This has been around for maybe 2,000 years, maybe longer than that. So before Carnath was ever a country. So the halflings don't really identify themselves as Carnathys.
Right. So playing the only card we know we have, we...
Honesty for once.
Yeah. We tell the halflings at the gate that we are survivors of the disaster on the day of mourning that destroyed the Jarasco enclave near Loom Keep. And we get some strange looks. Crazy looks, even, because they inform us there has never been a house enclave in that location.
The party's very confused by this, because of course, that's where they died. But then they start giving a little more information, and they mention that they were there with Wilmo, who ran the enclave. And when they say the name Wilmo, the halfling's eyes light up with recognition. They send a runner and then escort them inside.
And we'll find out what happens next week.
So this week, hey everyone, We're talking about playing during the pandemic. And I think this is probably our first episode ever that is tied to current events. And I mean, usually we try to make these things long tail so you can listen to them whenever. But the current coronavirus pandemic is looming so large that we did want to talk about how it's changing the way that people are gaming and maybe some ways that you can adapt your sessions and even your stories for an age of quarantine.
Yeah, I think this is one of those events that changes us when it's over, right? Like, I don't think everything is going to quite go back the way it was afterwards. And it feels like, you know, a lot of people are trying to kind of take the high watermark of where things are in the moment, right? So this isn't lost to history. And somebody should talk about how gaming is changing, because it's strange to see how quickly things have shifted and adapted just across the spectrum for people who want to play tabletop games together.
We have a lot of thoughts about the pandemic in general, but our platform here is about gaming. So
right. Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about that. So first off, I think let's talk a bit about protocols, okay? When it comes to everything, but also when it comes to gaming, everyone's health comes first. If you are very, very ill, if you are coughing, if you have a fever, like a high fever, sleeping is probably better than gaming right now.
Yes. If you are short of breath, if you are experiencing acute symptoms, please don't play a game that requires you to sit up and talk for hours.
Yeah. Please don't play a game that maybe gets you too emotional and like increases your pulse and your blood pressure. Okay, like take care of yourself.
A big symptom that's like kind of going across, I know in New York and especially increasingly in other cities, is they're having to deal with like the cost of social distancing and sheltering in place is the grief and mental health aspect too, right? So equally important is if you don't feel up for it, do not feel obligated, like protect yourself. Like I personally see it as an escape and a release, but not everybody does and not every game provides that. So protect your mental health as well. That's also valid.
Right. If there was a time to bow out of obligations, now is the time.
Please tell that to my family and their Zoom calls.
All you have now is time to call.
I know. It's terrible for introverts.
So for those of you who are not introverts, though, please remember, continue to social distance. No exceptions. This means no gathering in small groups for game night. It doesn't matter if you all get together and are still sitting 6 feet apart.
Yeah, I don't care if you're playing in a banquet hall. It's still not okay. the only way to stay safe is to stay away, right? This is the flatten the curve thing. This is the importance of not spreading when you're asymptomatic, right? Like, gaming is not worth your life. Stay home. Find a different way to play.
Right. And even if you're feeling brave, although I would say foolhardy, protect your friends, right? Make sure that they aren't catching this from you. For all you know, you already have it.
Right.
Which means you should be playing online. And if you are listening to this podcast, then you have an internet connection and you can play online.
Oh, well, there are a few people who are getting it over two tin cans tied together with a string. So those people, sorry.
You're tapping it out in Morse code. But hey, right. You can game over string. It's fine.
That's true. It's got a maximum transmit distance of 6 feet.
Just keep it taut. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's important.
So playing online is the best way to get together these days. There's Zoom, if you don't mind people snooping on your games. But I mean, who cares at this point? Google Hangouts, FaceTime, Roll20, virtual tabletops. We covered a lot of this in episode 229 because I guess we're very prescient.
Yeah, I mean, we should talk a little bit about our experience here because we have switched. We started with Discord. So a lot of people don't know that Discord does have video chat. And what's nice about Discord's video chat is that it shows like a gallery mode by default. So you can see everybody's like camera at once, not just the speaker. Some other platforms don't give you that. But Discord seems to have a soft cap on how many people can be on a call. And it's certainly somewhere less than eight because with eight people on the call, everyone's like somebody is having a technical difficulty every 5 minutes.
Right. Audio is getting dropped. Yeah. I hear it is better or more reliable if you're only doing audio. So if you're doing a game that you only need to hear each other, then that probably will work fine.
Yeah. Discord's great for voice. medium for video. Zoom is by far the best, but also comes with some security and general privacy scumminess issues. But, you know, like whatever platform you can get everybody onto is probably the right one for you, whether it's mm-hmm. Skype or Hangouts or FaceTime or whatever, right?
Right, because people, if they already have it, then they already probably know how to use it. So right. You don't need to train people.
Yep.
What do you think about virtual tabletops, Roll20, battle maps, all that?
I mean, if you need them, like your Roll20, your Astral Tabletop, your Fantasy Grounds, or Tabletop Simulator are all like great ways to look at it. Like whatever virtual tabletop you have, like that you're comfortable with as the GM is a good one to go with, especially if you need those maps or character sheets all in kind of one place. If you want an online dice roller, I prefer rolls.org, rolz.org, which is just like a chat room / dice roller. Makes it very simple.
If you're dealing with super new people who don't really know dice or maybe don't physically have dice with them, Google. You can just Google the dice notation, 1d6 plus 5, and it'll roll it for you, like visually.
I prepped all of Stream of Blades using Google's dice roller because it's only rolling d6s in the book for Band of Blades, so I just did it in the Google dice roller.
That's great. I mean, they'll do polyhedral dice too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's great.
And, you know, easy for people who don't really understand what this dice thing is.
Right.
But they know Google.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a bit about the kinds of themes that you might touch on. Not in a pandemic-focused game, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about playing now at this moment in time. So I think everyone has probably played a post-apocalyptic game, right? And part of the fun of that is wondering how you'd survive if the world gets turned on its head.
Yeah, even if it's not a role-playing game, you've definitely done that what would I do in a zombie apocalypse game in your head.
Yeah, right? While you're like, watching Walking Dead, you're like, right. Well, that's dumb. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not that stupid. Oh, wait. I know how to use an axe.
Right. But guess what? Here it is. And, well, for those of you who are still going outside when you don't have to, you are that stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going into the basement alone. That's what you're doing.
Exactly.
So I think these days there are probably two ways to go about gaming. You either lean into the existence of the pandemic, or you lean way out and go with escapism.
Right. I think this is maybe one of those depends on where you are type things. If you are in an area that is being currently hit very hard by coronavirus, if you're in sort of the middle and apex stages of infection in your area, escapism is probably the way most people want to go. I know here in New York, that's where I want to go. Like, I don't want to deal with post-apocalypse. I can look out the window if I want to see that.
Right. Like the news is hard to listen to, but everyone's listening to it anyway. People usually want to take their minds off stories of overwhelmed hospitals, the sounds of ambulances driving by your house all the time. People who are sick probably don't want to think about their symptoms because one of the symptoms is, you know, your heart racing and feeling a tightness in your chest, which anxiety can do on its own.
Right. You might look into more lighthearted or even silly games. You know, this is a great time for your honey heist or your be gay do crimes or your everyone is John or everyone is guardsman John as we played at Thrillicon.
Or even just one shots of your regular, you know, D&D game. Feel free to like take a break from your long-running game right now if it feels too dark and, you know, play a wacky one-shot, play something silly, play a party of gnomes, you know, do whatever you need to do right now to feel better.
Yeah, and if you aren't interrupting your long-running game, right, like give your players a break from the tough moral choices, right? Let them just be a little more noble bright than they would be otherwise.
Yeah, if you have anybody, but if you have doctors in your group, maybe don't throw out the moral dilemmas right now about which person you need to save, because that's just a little too real these days.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that like our Dark Sun game, I still find that very escapist because it's pretty high fantasy, honestly.
Yeah. it's pretty dark.
It is.
We do a lot of heartless murder.
Yes. But right now, it's not heartless murder that's scary outside. So
that's a good point.
It still feels escapist to me.
Gives us a little bit more control. We get to murder some bad guys, or at least some worse guys.
Right? So if you are leaning in, though, one, of course, like have the conversation ahead of time. Make sure everyone's okay with that. But you can entertain the idea. It is okay to entertain the idea because Darkness can be inspiring, and for some people, and sometimes, the best way to come to terms with their fear is to closely examine it.
Yeah, there are plagues as a common theme in many games, ranging from your, you know, fantasy spell plagues to your sci-fi to your board games, right? Like, Pandemic is literally a board game. So this is actually an interesting comment you have in the note. What is playing Pandemic Legacy look like right now? A week ago, my mother was like, hey, we never finished playing Pandemic Legacy Season 2. Can we try and get that like remote setup working again so that we can finish it?
I was totally wondering if people were going to like dive back into Pandemic Legacy right now.
I doubt it that it's on Tabletop Simulator, but if it was on Tabletop Simulator, I would play the shit out of it right now.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It can be a super cathartic experience to overcome a disease in a game while the world is trying to do the same thing in real life. Like, it would be great to actually succeed, to like feel like you got a win.
Right. Well, then maybe play Season 1, because Season 2 seems to be way harder.
Okay. Real life is Season 2.
Yeah.
Before you do this, though, and I would say on an ongoing basis, if you are sort of incorporating the pandemic into your game or even themes of it, just bear some sensitivity in mind. Some of your players or their family or their friends or your family or your friends might be sick right now. And you may not know it because not everyone wants to, you know, share personal health information all the time. So like, just be careful with things like jokes about the Rona, you know, unless you already know that people are okay with it.
Yeah. And keep in mind, it's not just Corona symptoms that are the problem right now. There are lots of people with pre-existing conditions or chronic conditions that are also being severely threatened by the deterioration of our health system. So, for example, people who have lupus are now competing with, frankly, idiots for hydroxychloroquine, which is, you know, the medication that they require to manage their lupus is now being recommended as an unproven treatment for coronavirus that is becoming a problem for them, right? People who have cancer are having trouble getting their treatments. People who have like other, you know, medical needs are not necessarily able to safely receive them or are adding anxiety by trying to get those taken care of.
Right. Even people who are not dealing with life-threatening illnesses, like all elective surgeries have been canceled, basically, which means that your knee replacement is not happening.
Right. Or if you are a pregnant woman right now, this must be terrifying.
Yes. So please just keep all those things in mind. You may not necessarily know who is sick or who is going to get sick. Hey, everyone, I've had symptoms for about a week and a half now, and I have been basically locked in a room, not seeing anybody. No, not basically. I've been locked in a room, not seeing anybody, and not leaving, because though my symptoms are very mild, which makes me extremely lucky, it does also mean that I'm definitely contagious. So I can't get near anybody because I don't know who has had it or who has not.
Right.
Like, this is Schrodinger's disease, right? Everyone has to assume that they do have it so that you don't infect anybody else. But you also have to assume that you have never had it because it's possible that you didn't, because no one can get tests. And so you don't want to say, well, I was sick, and then go outside and then actually get it.
Yeah. You have to treat other people as though they can be infected and you are the one who will infect them. And you have to let other people treat you as though they can only cause you your first infection.
So I would say that honestly, like, gamers who have good gaming experiences are probably really equipped for this. Like, look out for everybody else and make sure that everyone else is safe. That's the kind of thing that you're doing all the time when you're having a good game and you've established the social contract, and like all the stories that we're telling together are making sure that everyone's having fun and everyone's feeling safe.
Yeah. And so I think that just means expanding the subject matter that you would check in on regularly, right? Maybe add a little bit of this sort of medical flavor to what is otherwise, you know, some more broader social topics.
I will say this does mean that we recorded our Forgotten Realms episode while I was sick, okay? So you enjoy that. You enjoy that coronavirus episode.
How are you doing right now, Ishan?
We talked about the spell plague while I was in a plague room, okay? You know, anxiety is high for everybody, but just speaking from my personal perspective, again, very mild symptoms and extremely lucky. Gaming has helped a lot. It's been a really great escape. It's been really nice to like see everybody. And also, I was very glad that we decided to start social distancing early. So like there wasn't a possibility that any of us had infected anyone else because we haven't seen each other in person in like 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, we got a little bit lucky, I think, just in where the guidelines came down between our sessions was like, cool, they came down 5 days after our last session. So we were pretty safe and well out of the danger zone for our group.
Right. At this time, it is also probably worth revisiting the X card and lines and veils right now. You know, you don't necessarily have to be like, hey, everyone, tell us if you have symptoms or you know someone who does or whatever so that we can be careful. You can just have a conversation again about being like, hey, is there any topic or anything that people don't necessarily want to be talking about right now? And it is very reasonable for people to be like, can we please just not talk about diseases? Can we not deal with plagues right now? I would love that.
Yeah.
So we've also had some logistical changes to our weekly gaming session.
Yeah, so our gaming group is 8 people, which is usually 7 players and a GM. However, we have 7 people so that we can consistently get a quorum of 5 people present.
Right.
let me tell you, D&D with 8 players or with 8 people plus D&D online with 8 people is a very different experience.
Oh yeah, it is.
We have had full attendance for multiple weeks in a row for the first time ever.
Yeah, it has never happened before. We were not prepared for this in any way.
Yeah, and then like you add in, you know, our gaming group is friends as well, right? We don't get to see each other at all otherwise, obviously, being distance. So like it's very hard to keep everybody focused, and you can't have a side conversation easily when you're online, right? You can't like side video chat. So we end up in this like very meandering kind of game instead of like everybody drilled in to play the game.
Yeah, right. Like I think we determined after the first time that you are kind of want to make jokes in the chat. But also, like, it's hard to, like, get a quip in the chat, right? So sometimes you blurt it out, but everybody's hearing it, and that's the thing they're focused on. And for some people, like, their screen is changing, so now you're talking on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to do, like, just those two people having a quick little conversation or, like, hey, I'm showing you a thing on my phone that's funny while someone else is taking their turn, right?
Right.
Or even just being like, hey, how does the spell work again? Or even you and me talking about tactics while someone else is like taking their turn, right?
Yeah, somebody is looking at their character sheet trying to figure out which spell they're going to use right now because the situation just changed on the map and we're talking tactics for our next turn and now we have crosstalk and everything is a little bit slower.
Yeah. It's also hard because I want to look at my character sheet. That's on a screen.
Uh-huh.
And I've got to switch a tab because I'm only using one screen, but now I can't see everybody, and then now I need to go to look at the map. So I'm constantly switching tabs, and that takes forever.
Yeah.
Do you have any solutions for that?
I do. Become the mayor of Screentopia the way that I have. Get your battle station ready, Ishin. That was like, everybody else was stockpiling rice. I stockpiled monitors.
Right. Do you have two side-by-side now?
I do. And actually, when I work, I plug them both into my work laptop. So I have 3 screens for work. It's dystopian how happy I am about my work setup. I hate myself for saying this, but I do love how I can work now from 3 screens.
Look, I appreciate that you have that setup. I am now, after like a week of trying to deal with one screen, I just started using both my personal laptop and
laptops.
My work laptop side by side. Yeah.
But then you run into the 2 keyboard problem, which I also find frustrating because I did that before I had both set up. I was doing that on like 2 separate screens. And then it's like, I can't reach my keyboard or like, where does my food go? Because like, that's now a thing too. You know, we're playing at dinner time and it's a mess.
It's a mess. So I would say expect to get like half as much, maybe 3/4 as much done in your regular session if you're taking the same amount of time. It's just going to go slower. On the flip side, though, you might be able to play longer sessions, so maybe you end up making the same amount of progress.
Well, the other piece of this, like, we don't have to deal with this in our group just because of our life situations, but like if you have kids who are now cooped up at home as well, you can perhaps no longer escape the children to go play games. So you now have to deal with that in the background. you might find it might be harder to play longer sessions because you also have kind of parenting duties that are creeping up that weren't an issue previously when you had school and daycare and those types of services available.
Yeah.
Because school is there to make sure that you can game at night, not to educate your children. I'm a good father.
That's the whole point of it. That's why they send kids away to camp.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks of learning archery and horseback riding. Great. I'm going to get so much gaming done.
Exactly.
How many badges can my character earn? I think we've also learned that it can be helpful to try to let minutia go just because there's so many little fiddly bits that you're dealing with when you're online gaming. Maybe that means getting rid of the grid entirely and just going to Theater of the Mind. That works perfectly fine. Maybe it means not worrying so much about exactly how your digital mini on the screen looks, like whether the weapon matches or whether it's necessarily the right height.
Ishin, my Genasi rogue has been using an elf mini for 3 weeks, and I hate it. I hate it. Ishin, I hate it.
I salute your sacrifice.
I don't hate it enough to log in and find a better mini.
Well, so that's the thing, right? Like, if you want to fix that, you should definitely fix that. Please don't fix that in the middle of the session. Mm-hmm. Please do it before or after.
Right.
But, you know, you probably have way more time to spend as long as you want getting your mini looking exactly right. Like, I don't know, go to Hero Forge. You know, now's a great time.
Oh, yeah. Take advantage of that new digital mini option they're offering.
Yeah, exactly. Make them look perfect. Yep. You have no excuse now.
Exactly.
And we are not dealing with this right now, but a lot of people, I think, are finding new players because there are a bunch of people who are like, we're stuck inside. You play that D&D thing, don't you?
Yeah. I had that come up on work calls and on Zoom call, like family Zoom calls, like extended family, right? It was like, what's that thing your podcast's about? It's a game, right? Is that a thing that we could do?
Yeah, Jim and his wife went to stay with their in-laws a while back, and apparently the in-laws were like, hey, can we play D&D? And then Jim ran his in-laws through, like, was it Ice Spire Peak?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he played through the D&D Essentials module, and now he has introduced the Muggles to gaming.
They've been married for years. I believe they've never expressed any interest in D&D before this.
Right.
Desperate times.
Exactly.
But this is a really great opportunity to introduce new people to the hobby. You have a literally captive audience. Feel free to suggest it, and if people bring it up, you know, great. Bring them on in. Invite them to your regular session. You may have people who are interested because you are now sequestering yourself in a room and getting this nice, like, 4-hour respite, and they're like, wait a minute, I want that too.
Yeah. You also have people who are keen on video games, who are looking for something new, because honestly, there's only so many video games you can play. Though people are playing so much Animal Crossing still, I don't know if maybe there is no theoretical upper limit. I guess we'll find out.
Right. But yeah, it is nice to have something that's a little more interactive rather than yelling at each other over voice chat.
Yep.
So if you are going to introduce a new person to a game, I'd say probably start with something simple. We did an episode on teaching new players, episode 227. You can check that out. It doesn't need to be D&D. It doesn't need to be a complicated system. You know, you don't need to, you know, break out Burning Wheel or Pathfinder right now.
Yeah.
You could start with something very simple.
Yep. Or, you know, there is still, like, surprisingly, some Muggle brand cachet for D&D, right? Like, D&D has come up in the mainstream more often. Maybe play D&D, but just bend a lot of the rules so they're easier, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't be a stickler. Don't make them read anything. Give them their character sheets. Teach them how to roll the right dice and just go.
Yeah. This is a nice time to revert to fighter, cleric, rogue, wizard.
Yeah.
Which of you wants to be the rogue?
And this is where it's nice to start at level one with all the decisions, like spells and stuff made for them, where they don't have to like parse all the information, right? Choose spells that are very straightforward. This one does healing. This one does damage. This one does a group of damage. End of story.
And then don't take it personally if they're not into it. And don't take it personally if they're really into it, But then once all of this pandemic subsides, they decide that they're not into it any longer.
Yeah, it turns out I like being a foodie more than I like being a gamer, so sorry.
Oh my god, the worst thing about being stuck in this room is that I can't cook, and so I've just been watching cooking videos.
Jesus. Send help.
Thank you, bon appetit. Another thing that's happening, and I think to all of us, is that we are getting into new games.
I have seen more of this in the past 2 or 3 weeks than I've ever seen before. People who are playing new RPGs, but also people who are getting new gaming groups around, like board games in Tabletop Simulator, people who are playing like Jackbox obsessively, people who are playing other video games, like people are finding ways online to play. Get in. Like, yeah. It's a gold rush.
Gaming finds a way.
Right.
And these aren't new players, right? These are consummate gamers who are joining new games all the time.
So we didn't talk about this up front, right? But I think the other reality that a lot of people are facing is they are getting laid off, they are getting furloughed, they are getting their hours cut or their salary cut. And like they are finding genuinely more time on their hands, and I'm seeing a lot of people who are like, I finally have time to do this thing, let's go do this thing.
However, you might want to be careful about taking on an unsustainable amount of gaming. You know, maybe you don't mind and you understand that, you know, if things kind of go back to some semblance of normal, whatever normal is going to look like after this, that, you know, you won't have nearly as much time to game, and so you'll drop out of some of them. Maybe you're fine with that. Maybe the people you're gaming with are fine with that. But just keep that in mind. You don't want to be in sort of the awkward position of being like, hey, I've really enjoyed telling the story with you. I know you have big plans for it, but I can't do 4 games a week anymore. I can do 1, maybe 2, and so I've got to drop out.
Right.
So look into short games, you know, games they're going to do one small arc, games that are going to run, you know, a few levels or, you know, a limited number of sessions, even just a series of one shots.
Right. Or look at a model where you can have drop in, drop out players, right? Something where you can start the game now and sort of evolve the player base over time. So when things kind of go back to a new normal, you've got a better chance of keeping the game going.
Yeah, and I'll say GMs. This sort of goes doubly for you. Be careful about starting so many games to fill your time right now and then not finding that sustainable later, because you're going to disappoint a whole bunch of players if like your game falls apart because you're running 5 of them concurrently.
Yeah, that burnout's real.
Yeah.
And it can burn out fast and bright, so I would just, you know, maybe go a couple weeks in each game before you start adding another one to the schedule.
Yeah, once you've got a social life again and a job again that you have to actually commute to, you're going to have a lot less time.
Right.
I know when I was unemployed a few years ago, I ended up getting into 7 play-by-post games concurrently, because what else was I going to do?
And that became your job.
Yeah, basically it was apply to a job, make a post. Apply to a job, make a post.
So, worth mentioning, consider your significant others, your roommates, your partners, your children, anybody else who is competing for your time when you are, you know, kind of heads down in a game. You know, you don't want to leave them in the lurch. You don't want to leave them waiting to finish Ozark Season 3 while you play your D&D game. You know, so be considerate. Your time may not be exclusively yours.
Right. And the dynamic gets a little bit different. Like, you know, people usually leave their home, go to one location, and then play there. And so, you know, your partner or your children or your friends or whomever gets their own alone time. Right. You know, and like it's good to have that separate time. But now you're all in the same space and you are doing a thing. And now it feels like you're just unavailable.
Yep. Yep.
As opposed to like... I get to do my thing and you get to do your thing. Now, like I, as the partner, just sort of feel left out. So keep that in mind and, you know, find something else to do, or make sure that you're spending more quality time together as well.
Yeah. My wife made that comment this week that like, it sure seems like we're supposed to have more free time, but I spend all my time on calls and they're either for work or, you know, something hobby related nowadays. And it's like, what happened? Like, how did we end up busier, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for those of us lucky enough to still have jobs right now, a lot of those jobs are leaning a lot harder on us because they know that we are not busy.
Yeah, like my former commute time has seemed to just become work time.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Why aren't you logged on at 8 a.m.?
Right.
I know you're awake.
Right. And the other part of this to keep in mind is like internet and bandwidth is a finite resource. You know, a lot of places this isn't a problem, but in some places it really is a problem. So if you can't sustain a video call and a Netflix stream and, you know, a video game in three different rooms, like maybe be considerate of what other people are trying to do in the house as well.
Also, I think many things are going to get canceled in the future, and I think that's going to come up with cons. I bet a lot of them are going to move online, but I'm just not sure how that's going to work. So like, keep that in mind if you're considering things like a full weekend of moving a con online. It's one thing if I fly to Indianapolis and my wife has a weekend to herself, and you know, I'm gaming all day for 3 or 4 days, but I can't lock myself in a room and game for 3 or 4 days while like my wife is also living here.
Right.
You know, so I think that's going to come up a lot more once we come to con season.
Yeah.
So everyone, I hope you are staying safe. I hope things are going to work out for you. I mean, I hope they're going to work out for all of us, but not to be pessimistic about this, but we are only at the beginning of this. Things will get worse in many places. So prepare yourself. And I think part of doing that is keeping yourself mentally healthy. And part of that is reaching out to other people and making sure that you're still maintaining those friendships, and gaming can be a huge part of that.
Yeah. And I'll plug our Discord for this. There's the link is in the show notes, because of course Discord links are impossible to repeat out loud. But yeah. I think our Discord has been very, very active during this period, very supportive. Like, people are very cognizant of sort of the struggles, like very individual struggles, right? And it's been difficult to see people like come in and be like, man, like, I lost my job today, you know, like, I'm really struggling with that. Or, you know, like, hey, we're lucky, like, we're still doing this, or my boss is unreasonable and I feel like I'm very at risk. What can I do? You know, like, as well as just like, we're sharing memes, like finding a little reason to smile during the day. Right. So I'm very proud of our little community that we built together in Discord.
Yeah. I'm always really happy that our community feels very emotionally available while at the same time loving to crack jokes. So best of both worlds.
You know, sometimes you need a shutter prison and sometimes you need a meme life. I think as we wrap up here, like, just, you know, we get through this together, right? This is not the end of the world. It will be more difficult than it is now. But in a few months or a year, it will be in the rearview mirror and, you know, we'll be okay. We just have to do our part.
Yep, we're all in this together. See you online.
All right. Do you hear that, Ishan?
I hear nothing here in my tower. I'm basically Rapunzel.
Well, let's move on to the Character Creation Forge and find you a friend.
Look, neither of us has had a haircut in so long.
That's true. I have a man bun now.
we're basically turning into Rapunzel.
All right. Before we move on to the Character Creation Forge, let's talk about how our listeners can get in contact with us.
We do love hearing from you, especially right now. Dear Lord, we love hearing from you.
You can tweet at Shane at Mundangerous. That's M-U-N dangerous.
And you can tweet at Ishan at Evil Sense Carne. That's Malice minus Meat.
And you can tweet at the show at TPTcast.
You can also email us at TotalPartyThrill@gmail.com.
And you can find us on the web at www.TotalPartyThrill.com.
We're also on Facebook and Instagram at TotalPartyThrill.
And as mentioned, check out the conversation on Discord. There's a link in the show notes.
Leave behind the safety of the Humblewood and travel down the Tangrip coast to the Bay of Palouche, home to both the Kingdom of Den and the Serpent Domain. But neither hold the true power of the Bay, for that lies in the sea itself and the pirate lords that call her tides their home. The Dread Pirate Captain Bluebeak, Tiberius Fang, Kin the Bladeless, and Gabrielle LaFleur, the self-proclaimed Pirate Queen. Each one vying for power over the very tides themselves. But do any of them really have what it takes to hold up the legacy of the Briny Bulldog? Tune in each week to find out if our little crew has what it takes to stand up to the pirates of the blood-soaked waters. Dark Fortunes is available every Monday on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Set sail for high seas adventure.
All right, so this week, Ishin, in the Character Creation Forge, we are building the Nosomatic Chirurgeon.
Four more times, Shane.
The Nosomatic Chirurgeon. The Nosomatic Chirurgeon.
Good enough.
Ishin, what is the Nosomatic Chirurgeon?
So, those of you who love Eberron may know that this is a prestige class from 3.5. It is a halfling with the Mark of Healing who taps into their dragon mark abilities and inverts them to spread disease and turn healing into harm.
All right. I don't know what any of the words in the... in the name of this thing mean, but what's the build?
It is Divine Soul Sorcerer 13, Life Cleric 1, Oath of Conquest Paladin 6.
All right, so from Mark of Healing, we're going to get, halfling stuff, so plus 2 dex, plus 1 whiz, and we'll get a plus d4 to medicine or herbalism checks.
And then you can cast Cure Wounds and Lesser Restoration once a day. I think the important thing to remember about, if you are playing a Nosomatic Chirurgeon in a game, it's a secret. Like, they're a secret cabal within the house. And so people don't know that you're kind of evil, which means that you need to be a very good healer because you're in the house. And in fact, your abilities come from you being such a good healer. So it makes sense for you to be very good at all of this.
You got
to
be above reproach.
Right. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so you can rise within the house. Now, from Sorcerer, the great thing about Divine Soul Sorcerer is you can choose cleric spells anytime that you would learn a sorcerer spell. So you have the entire sorcerer spell list and the entire cleric spell list to choose from.
Which, of course, includes Inflict Wounds.
You just get that because you're probably an evil Nosomatic Chirurgeon. You also get plus 2 d4 to an attack or a saving throw once per encounter. And here's an interesting thing. You can spend a sorcery point to re-roll healing dice. This works on you, but it can also work on allies. And usually it's if an ally hasn't healed enough, you spend a sorcery point and they get some more healing. But if you are working at odds, you can spend a sorcery point to make someone re-roll the healing dice of something that they rolled very well on so that it heals less.
I would recommend using this on NPCs, less so on your own party.
Yes, intra-party conflict is something that needs to be talked about beforehand. Okay, yeah. Let's remember that.
You'll also get metamagic, of course, empowered spell, subtle spell, twin spell, or quicken spell are the ones we love there.
I like empowered because it lets you reroll damage dice if they're low. And I think of this as like an inflict, right? I want to drop an inflict wounds because I'm channeling the power of my dragon mark. I harm you. I really want it to hurt, so I empower it. But also subtle here, again, if you are secretly within the house, this is sort of a great role-playing ability. You can inflict wounds when it looks like you are healing or tending to someone who is sick.
Oh no, they couldn't be saved.
I don't know what happened. This is terrible and tragic. And then you get a host of spells from Sorcerer and Cleric. You get the Chill Touch cantrip, which deals necrotic damage and then people can't regain hit points. And inflict wounds, like we said. Ray of Sickness poisons people. Spirit Guardians. One, awesome on a sorcerer. Two, people don't usually notice this, but the spirits can also inflict necrotic damage if you are evil.
Mm-hmm.
So you can create basically a cloud of what I imagine is basically your dragon mark taking form. Or it's some sort of like, terrible miasma that you're giving off that, sucks the life out of people nearby.
And then you'll get your higher level spells, your very thematic disease spells, your contagion, enervation, circle of death, and harm.
Now from a single level of cleric, you get an additional 2 plus spell level extra HP restored. when you cast a spell that restores hit points. This is interesting. It works on spells like Enervation, which damages someone else and then heals you. You will increase the amount of healing that you gain when you damage someone else with a spell like that.
Yep.
And then cantrips, Guidance obviously is great. That's an additional D4 on those same medicine checks and everything else. And then Toll the Dead is a really nice high damage cantrip. I'd probably switch over to this as my like regular cantrip instead of Chill Touch, except Chill Touch has a longer range, so you know, use Toll the Dead when people are closer to you. And then you'll also pick up heavy armor.
Then from Paladin, we'll get martial weapons. We'll be able to lay on hands, which also lets you cure a disease.
Yeah, just auto cure it. And then you'll get immunity to disease, which is very important because you're probably experimenting with terrible diseases and contagions on your own.
That definitely helps.
You'll get a fighting style, extra attack, and smite. Some paladin abilities let you choose necrotic instead of radiant. Divine Smite does not. I would probably, if I were playing this character, ask the GM if I could switch to necrotic. That is almost always going to be weaker, but I find it more thematic. So as a GM, I wouldn't have a problem with it. And then your channel divinity, as an action, you force a creature to make a wisdom saving throw or be frightened. And that just feels very, very thematic. When you reveal who you might actually be, or, you know, you were the nice friendly healer, but there's just something unnerving about you.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to cross that healer, you know.
You are very sick in this bed.
Right. So your leveling order, you'll want to start with 5 levels of sorcerer, then take your cleric level. Take your 6 levels of paladin and then finish out sorcerer. All right, before we wrap up, we want to take a moment and thank our Patreon supporters.
Yeah, your support is what makes it possible for us to keep doing this show every single week. So if you'd like to learn more, you can check out our rewards at patreon.com/totalpartythrill.
You can also leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way to support the show and to help other people find us. And if you do, we will read your review on the air. So what do we have planned for next week's episode?
We are talking about using Slod.
And in the Character Creation Forge?
We're building the Toad Battler.
The Battle Toad?
I played that game a lot.
Well, it's going to be a very frustrating build then, isn't it, Isha?
Oh, God, yes. It's all friendly fire all the time.
All right, that's it for episode 245 of Total Party Thrill. I hope we lived up to our name, but either way, I'm Shane.
And I'm Ishan. Thanks for listening.